It becomes very obvious that we live in an ever-changing world, amen? We see and we know that people are changing, that communities change. We've got a lot of change that is taking place. Right now with the COVID that's going around and all the different things that are happening, you see people changing, and they're changing their views, they're changing their habits, they're changing different things about their lives. So we know that change is something that is unreal, but we know that it happens. We all live in an ever-changing world, and man, oh man, doesn't it seem like time is just flying by? Doesn't it seem like it was just yesterday that Heather was just 4 years old walking around saying, Mommy, Daddy, let me have the remote? It just seems like it was just yesterday that all that was taking place. I look at all the changes that have taken place and the changes that we're going through here, even in our own community. I remember some 6.5 years ago when I came to this congregation and the congregation agreed to let me serve you guys. I remember the way that the whole community looked, and it has a whole different face today, doesn't it? So many of the houses that were here are gone, new houses that are being built, older houses that have been redone, and I just began to think about it, and as you drive through the area, just how nice it is and all the changes that have taken place. We know that in this ever-changing world that some people change. We know that for a fact. At one time, believe it or not, I had hair, and that has changed a little bit. At one time, I was a whole lot thinner than what I am today. We know that not only do people change and our appearance change, you know, those things take place. But so do other things in life. The simple things, like an automobile. You remember years ago, some of you young people don't remember, but my age and older may remember when every single car was just a great big square going down the road, whether it was a Chevrolet Impala or a Chrysler LeBaron. They all looked alike, great big square boxes, every one of them going down the road. But now even the vehicles have changed. They don't look like they used to. When you think about automobiles is changing, you can think about our homes today and how the houses have changed. I think about our home and the changes that's come about, not only from the way that it looks, the face of the house, but sometimes things change in number. You know, at one time it was Paula and myself and Jerry Jr., and he always had a friend or two over that was spending a night and all of these things, and we think about the changes that take place. Jerry Jr. grew up. Jerry Jr. married. He moved out. I think about the changes in my financial situation as soon as he moved out. I think about all these things. Jerry Jr. is not a big man in stature, but I've never seen a human being consume as much food as he does, especially when I was the one paying for it. So changes do come about. I do remember very seriously telling Jerry and begging Jerry when he was living at home, please, when you walk out of a room, turn the light off. Aight. That was his famous words. And I kept telling him, Chris, turn the light off when you leave the room. Aight. And he never would. But it was so funny that now that he has his own home, he gets on to Amy and everybody else if they don't turn the light off. So when I'm up there, I go through and turn every light on in the closets, bathroom, turn the water on, let the water drip. Anything I can do, it's called payback. Things do change and people change. You know, think about medicines today and how they have changed. I was talking to my oncologist the other day and the chemotherapy that I'm going to begin on the 26th of December. I said, how bad do you think that's going to make me feel? How much nausea is going to be associated with it? He says, well, I don't really know for sure. But he says, what I can tell you is that medicines have come a long way. And he said these words, there's been a lot of changes in the last 10 to 20 years. So maybe it won't be as bad. Maybe it won't have such a negative effect. And I began to think about those changes. Other changes that take place in the world today is television, isn't it? Boy, has that changed a great deal. It is sad today that I can't take my grandchildren, if Jerry and Amy want to go somewhere, and put them in the living room and let them watch television in fear of what they may see. And you know what? You, with all the changes that has come about, it ought to be embarrassing to you and me, shouldn't it? It ought to be, you know, we ought to be ashamed of the things. Our society should be ashamed of the things that's coming across the television screen. And if anything, we should at least be embarrassed about it. Do you agree with that? Even in our worship service today, there have been changes. And some of the changes, they're okay. You can change the order of worship. You don't have to have the Lord's Supper at the first of the worship service. Did y'all know that? Did you know that we don't have to have four songs, then a prayer, then the Lord's Supper, and then Jerry to get up and preach, and then... You don't have to have it. You have to have it, but you don't have to have it in that order. So it's okay for some change to take place. You'll be in agreement. But we cannot change the way God says to do things. In the book of John chapter 4 and in verse 24, the Bible says God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. That means that you and I do not have the luxury in life to try to do anything different. The Lord is telling us, I'm spirit. You will worship me in spirit and truth if that's going to be acceptable worship. And yet there are congregations out there today that have done things that you and I would call perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are people out there today that's adding musical instruments into the worship service. And there's these people that will argue till they turn blue about that. The Bible does not give us an example of music in services. Some people say, well, is that a heaven or hell issue? You think God's going to send me to hell over if I have a piano in the church? My answer to that is there's no biblical example of musical instruments in New Testament worship. But you think God's going to send me to hell because of a violin? My answer has to be there is no example of musical instruments in our worship service. But there is something I have to pay attention to in Revelation in the last part, 22, 18, and 19. Anyone who adds to the words, you getting this? If you add to my law, you add to my word, there's going to be some problems. If you take away from my word, there's going to be some problems. Well, Jerry, lad, tighten that up. What do you mean there's going to be problems? Well, let's just go for it. The plagues that are written in this book, the book of Revelation, the things that you see is going to be added to you. How about that? Are we getting there? So, will a violin send you to hell? I don't think so. Will a piano send you to hell? I don't think so. There's a bunch of people with them in their house. But I don't believe for one second that we can add them in our worship service. Do we get that? I don't believe today, according to the Bible, that we can add as much as I like Courtney and Ashley. I think the world of them, but we cannot have them up here preaching the gospel. Isn't that right? The Bible doesn't show any indication of that. Can they teach a class back there with some young ladies? Older ladies? Absolutely. But can they come up here and preach? Absolutely not, even though they preach at home sometimes, don't they? But we let that part go. That's not scriptural. The reality, when we move a little bit further about that, we've got to be very careful. There's also people that's not only added to his word by adding things to a worship that the Bible doesn't allow, there's also people taking things away from what the Bible says. It's a sad state of affairs that there's friends out there in the denominational sense that's partaking the Lord's Supper maybe three or four times a year. That's not what the Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week. Isn't that what the Bible says? On the what day of the week? First day of the week. And that's what we're supposed to do. Break bread, remember me. That's what Jesus is saying. But they're not doing that. They've added to. They've taken away. They're making these changes. It's not conducive with what the Scripture says. We live in an ever-changing world, brothers and sisters, but what I'm glad to announce this morning, what I'm glad to promote, what I'm glad to share with you today is Christ does not change and he has not changed. Amen? Let's say that together. Christ does not and has not changed. One more time. Christ does not and has not changed. That's what I want us to remember as we leave the building today. Then there are people today, sadly, I find myself guilty of this from time to time, but sadly, we are holding on to our voices. Did you realize that? Yep, there's people today that's not singing out. The Bible, have we forgotten what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 around verse 19? Have we forgotten what the Bible says and what Matt brought to us a while ago in the book of Colossians chapter 3 verse 16? We have a commandment from God to sing and make melody in our hearts. Isn't that right? We have a commandment from God to teaching one another, the Bible said, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, lifting up our voices to God. It shouldn't be a burden. It should be a blessing. Amen. It shouldn't be a burden. It should be something we're proud to do. Now, I can't sing worth a nickel. I'll tell you that, but I guarantee you one thing. When I'm singing, my heart's right with God. Amen. When I'm singing, I'm not doing it just so I think Jerry might, well, Jerry Ladd's got a pretty good voice. Jerry Ladd don't have a good voice. But I can tell you, I've got good intentions when I'm singing to the Lord. Amen? Are we getting there? Are we good with everybody? Good, then start singing out a little bit better. All right. I just come from Jerry Jr. He's the one that told me that not everybody was singing. So if you want to get mad about that one, I would attack him at the front door, probably just get him, like y'all do me about the services. Okay. Changes come about, yes or no? Some of the changes we like, and some we, there you go, Heather, some we don't. Some are okay, and some are not. And let me be the first to tell everyone in here today that not all change is bad. Amen? Not all change is bad. It warrants, the Bible, I shouldn't say it, let me scratch that. The Bible warrants a change in your life and mine. The Bible is commanding us that there better be a change. Is anybody besides me in the book of Romans right now? Four of us are. Well, then everybody go to the book of Romans, if you don't mind. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, I want us to share together verses 1 and 2 as we talk about a change that must come about. In Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, let's look at the change that's coming about. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore who... All right, now watch this. By the mercies of God, very good. Now listen, that you present your bodies a what kind of sacrifice? Well, give me the next word. Holy, look at this, living sacrifice. What's the next one? Starts with an H. And it has to be acceptable to who, actually? To God. Now watch, which is your what kind of service? This is something you can achieve. This is your reasonable service. This is something you should have already been involved in. Amen? It's reasonable. You can do this. This is acceptable. God says you can do it. Should we do it? Look at verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? In another words, for that is repenting, isn't it? I need to repent, Teresa. I got to get my mind right. I have to have the right mindset. We had a sermon about a year and a half ago on having the right mindset. I'm never going to do it right until I get the right mindset. Isn't that right? All right. So renewing your mind that you may prove. What do you mean you may prove? That you may live. That your actions will demonstrate that the fruits of what you're doing. Look at this. Would prove what is that good and acceptable and finish it up. So is this something that God is telling us to do or the preacher with glasses? God is telling you to do this. Amen. God is saying this needs to happen. In the book of Luke chapter 9, down around verse 23, Jesus is talking to his disciples. There's some that are becoming maybe perhaps just a little bit stagnant, maybe not knowing exactly what we should do. And Jesus said to all of them, talking to his disciples, what did he say in Luke 9, 23? You remember the first few words? And then he said to them all, what does he say next? If anyone desires to do what? Then he gives them the condition, and what does he say? Let him deny, and then do what? And then follow me. So, Bobby, we see that there are several conditionals in that particular verse, isn't it? So we have it clear that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Don't be conformed to the world. And then he says, if you desire to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and then follow after who? Me. Jesus says that. So, do you agree today that the Bible does warrant change? Okay, is everybody with me? Do you agree that the Bible does warrant change, that the Bible says you better change? That's right. So we know without a doubt that people change. I have heard wives say about their own husbands, he's just not the guy that I married. Oh, Jerry, don't know. Now, I always put both hands up and go, hey, I'm not a marriage counselor. I'm just one of them lowly preachers. I don't know anything. Well, let me tell you what he did. Let me tell you what he should have done. Let me tell you what he forgot. Our anniversary went by. Did he get me something? No, he didn't. And then what happens after that? Well, he was just a great guy. He did this. He did that. But then he forgot to do this. And we began to hear a plethora of things that went wrong. Yes or no? And then we began to hear the husbands. Oh, look at Jerry and Amy back there. I started me a war. All right. Then we began to hear the husbands. And here's kind of what the husbands talk about. When we were dating, my wife was the most sweetest, the most kind, the most patient, the most loving, the most understanding woman that I had ever met in my entire life. Until we got married. And then now she don't understand a thing. She won't let me watch TV and control the remote. She won't let me do what I want to do. She won't let me hang out with the buddies. She won't let me do this. She was perfect until the day we got married. And then when I don't know what to say, I say, so she was perfect until she married you. And then things really go bad. And usually that's when they say, we want a new preacher. But the reality is people do change, don't they? God wants us to change for the better, doesn't he? And even though Paul and I have been married 40 years, we're still going through changes. Our looks are changing. Our habits are changing. Our desires are changing. The people that we serve, the God that we serve, We're changing in that. We're not changing to a different God because there's only one, but I want to be a better server of Almighty God. Paul's desire is to be a stronger servant of God. We want to serve our community. We want to serve people. And we want to take them to the buffet of righteousness, which is God's word. Amen? We want to take you to dinner. I'm not paying for your dinner somewhere at a restaurant, but I'm going to give you all you want right here. Chris is footing the bill at the restaurant. So we'll make sure that that's clear. But people do change. So I want us to consider the following 2 points today. I'm letting you off easy today. I want to talk about 2 points when it comes to Christ does not and has not what? When we talk about Christ does not and has not changed. Okay, here's your first point. So as we talk about all of this change that we're considering, I want us to see that many human beings have not changed. Does that make any sense? Many human beings have not changed. We all know that there have been many human beings that have not changed. It seems as if many of the folks today are like many of the individuals that we read about and see in the early Bible days. I have to think about how so many humans are still fighting against the sin of greed. Would you guys agree that there's a lot of people greedy in this world today? A lot of people so full of greed and so full of conniving ways to try to satisfy that greed that they're being passed by on life's blessings, aren't they? And you know what? We see that all the way back even from the very beginning of time. Some would argue and say, well, Jerry, I don't believe for one second that Adam and Eve was greedy. Yes, they were. They may not have been greedy for money, but they were greedy to have their own way, weren't they? They was greedy to have their desires and the thing that they wanted to do satisfied. Greed is a little bit more than just wanting an extra $2. Do you agree with that? Greed is when we put other things before God. And I take that word greed and I take that word idol and I put them right beside each other. Because it's greedy to do what? To worship this idol. But Jerry, you be careful not to judge. I'm not judging. I'm just saying what I witnessed back in the early Bible days and seeing what we witness even in today. Does that make any sense? So we've got many folks today fighting against the sin of greed. I know you remember the true story of this guy named Judas Iscariot. Has anybody ever heard of Judas Iscariot? He was the guy that built Moses' ark. How'd y'all like that? I just tore that all to pieces, didn't I? Y'all remember last week when I said that God told Noah to put a window here, 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 and here? And after the service, Brother Larry says, there's only one window. Well, I said, well, that wasn't Noah's ark I was talking about. I was talking about Moses' ark. Anyway, so leave me alone, Larry. And so there, I don't know. I guess I was wound up. I just threw windows up everywhere. So if you see the new ark, it's pretty cool. Anyway, so let me share with you a little bit more about this greed situation. I think we need to go to the book of Matthew. Are y'all good with that? But I can't find it. Is it Old or New Testament? Okay. So it is in the New. Okay. Matthew chapter 26. We're going to look at verses 14 through 16 together. Matthew 26, 14 through 16. The Bible says, then one of the twelve called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests. And he said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him? Who's the him, brothers and sisters? Thank you, Heather. What are you going to give me if I deliver Jesus to you? And they counted out to him how many pieces of silver? Harvey, how many? 30 pieces of silver. Harvey's trying to tell me 29 one time. I knew that was wrong. 30 pieces of silver. Watch 16. So from that time, he sought an opportunity to finish this up. To betray him. To betray who, actually? Jesus, wasn't he? So do you see what happened in this situation? Esther, what we recognize is, here's Judas Iscariot, a friend of Jesus, wasn't he? Here's Judas Iscariot, a guy who knew Jesus. And he says, what will you give me, Bobby? Listen to this. What will you give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. From that very moment, Amy, he sought an opportunity to deliver Jesus to the enemy, didn't he? All because of the greed that he had in his life. Are we in agreement with that? Are we in agreement with that according to the Bible? All right, let's go back to it then. Go back to 26, look at verse 14. I'm not going any further until we get it, because I want to make sure I'm not teaching you something wrong like Noah's ark with the 12 windows. Then one of the 12 called to Judas Iscariot, is that what the Bible says? Went to the chief priest and he said to him, what are you willing to what? Give me, watch this, if I deliver him, who's the him? To you. And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So do you agree right here that he's selling Jesus? Can we just get to it? So he's selling Jesus right here. Now from that time, and I've already got Amy on this one, but from that time he sought an opportunity to betray him, didn't he? So he was finding a chance to sell Jesus to them. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he did. Yes or no? Now what are you noticing about Judas Iscariot? He's a very what man? Starts with a G. He's a very greedy man. And was he willing to sell Jesus? That's a great big old yes. I'm not going to take you through the rest of it. What happened after that? Did he sell Jesus? Yes. And then what happened after that? He found out that that Jesus was innocent. He found out that he had did wrong. Did he take the money back? Yes, he did. Did he try to give it to him? Yes, he did. What'd they do with the money? They throw it back at him? Yes, they did. They threw it back and change went everywhere, didn't it? But he wouldn't take the money. So what did he do? He went out, and what did he do? He killed the guys. He went out and he hanged himself, didn't he? Why did he hang himself? The guilt, the what? So we know that the greed was the one that caused all this, right? And him yielding the greed. But then his guilt carried him to the rope. Does that make sense? We have to ask ourselves the same question today. Do we find ourselves being a Judas Iscariot? Maybe not selling Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, but are we selling out for Jesus by the things that we engage ourselves in, by the things that come out of our mouth, by the people we associate with, by the things that we do, by the way we act, by the way we react? Are we acting like Judas? Are we selling Jesus? Are we crucifying him again and again and again because of our actions? If we're doing that, oh, we better be careful. Amen? Let's look at our lives and make sure that we're not a Judas. Judas sought the opportunity to betray Jesus, and he did. I like what the Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 21. Let me find that. Proverbs chapter 21, go with me, 25 and 26. Is that all right with everybody? Proverbs chapter 21, 25 and 26. And my Bible pages are sticking together. The Scripture says, now watch how the Lord describes this. Everybody ready? Heather, you and I will lock this together. The desire of the lazy man kills him. Watch this. For his hands refuse to do what? Labor. He covets, give me the next word, greedily how often? But the righteous gives and does not spare. Woo! Let us also consider chapter 28. Let's take a look at chapter 28, Proverbs 28, looking at verse 22. The Bible says, a man with an evil eye hastens after what? And does not consider that poverty shall come upon him. So are you starting to notice some of the things that are going on? The Lord didn't like greed in the beginning of time, and he don't like it today, does he? But is mankind greedy today? All right, do you remember how this old prophet starts with an I? Isaiah. You remember how Isaiah talked about this in Isaiah chapter 56 down in verse 11? The Scripture says, yes, they are greedy. Oh, my heavens, watch this. Ooh, wow. Yes, they are greedy dogs which never have enough, and they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own territory. That's pretty rough, isn't it? But there are some greedy dogs out in our world today. Do you agree with that? They'll walk over their own families. They'll walk over everything else to get what they want. Folks, that ought not be. There needs to be change. We also know that mankind loves not only money, not only greed, but do you think mankind loves power? Are we power hungry today? We sit in the political realm. We sit in many households today. We sit in places of our employment. We sit in so many places. People are caught up on a power struggle, aren't they? Gotta have authority. I'm the boss. I know at my house who the boss is. Paul is the boss. Let me go ahead and come clean with it. And when I admit that Paul is the boss, that gives me all power. Yeah, I like that. I got the power to say who the boss is. How y'all like that? All right. Jeremiah 10:24, the Bible makes it clear. I'm getting some strange looks back there. Jeremiah 10:24, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to. Did I not give that right? Jeremiah 10:24. What'd I say? Yeah, 10:24. did I mess up? Do not have the power to fix this? Jeremiah 10:24. Is that right? Or is it 10:23? Now, one of y'all saying 24, one saying, oh, Lord, I know the way of man is not in it. That's why I should put scriptures down, shouldn't I? Because I try to be fancy and remember them. Oh, Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself, but he's not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Anybody know where that's at? That's what I tried to tell y'all. 23. Very good. I was dead wrong. Let me fix that in case I use this again. Jared and Heather can't catch me. All right. So it is not in us to direct our own steps. Amen? Jeremiah said that very clearly. I believe, too, we need to go to 1 John chapter 2. Let me show you this. We also have a large number of people, a lot of mankind that has not changed a great deal because there's still a lot of people in love with the world and the things of the world. When we put on our Christian armor, when we put Christ on in baptism, when we make that confession that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and we're baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, we have to die to sin and become alive to God. Do you guys agree with that? Everybody agree? That means what? That means dropping the world. We are in the world, but we can't be of the world. Does that make sense? 1 John 2:15-17 explains that to us because I would have a real tough time explaining it. The Bible makes it clear. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father, finish it up. It's not in him. Go to 16. For all that is in the world. Now watch how the Lord's describing this. This is what the world is filled with. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the pride of, it is not of the Father, but it is of who? All right, the world. And what's happening to the world, Heather? It's passing up. And the world is, I'm so glad I got her. Because she's been like this on answering. Good job, Jared. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But who does the will of God, the Bible says? Abides how long, Heather? Very, very good. Abideth forever. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Let me find this one too. Galatians chapter 5, if we look at verses 19 through 21, here's some other things that we're going to recognize. Do you remember clearly what the Bible says about these folks? Watch. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh, you remember a while ago, 1 John 2:15 talked about the flesh, didn't it? So look, here it is. The works of the flesh are evident, which is adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's a pretty tough list, isn't it? Because if we're not careful, brothers and sisters, we can gradually find ourselves getting in one of these alleys, can't we? Or is it just the preacher? Can't we? So we need to be very careful with that. Make sure that these changes that are coming about, we're changing for the better. Because, listen, so many human beings today, sadly, have not changed. We know that today, man still needs, you know, they want, we got the greed we talked about, we got the power that we talked about. But do you agree today that man still needs salvation? Do you agree today that man cannot do it on his own? So that means that we need divine guidance, doesn't it? That means we still need our salvation, and salvation comes only from God. Why do we need salvation? Does all of us need it? Yes, Romans 3:23, for all have and fallen. Go to 6:23. What's the wage of sin? There it is. So because of that, because the wage of sin is death, we also need that encouragement, don't we? How do we get this encouragement? By studying the Bible, yes. By coming together and doing what we're doing today. Hebrew chapter 10, verse 25. I need your help in helping me become a better person. I need your help, seriously speaking, in becoming who God wants me to be. But I can't do that sitting in my living room. I can't do that sitting in the workplace. But I can do that when I'm studying to show myself approved unto God. And I can do that when we assemble together. I can do that when you say, Jerry, you can do this. Does that make any sense? And when I look back at you and say, and together, we can do this walk for the Lord. We can march toward the righteousness of Jesus Christ. How do I know we can? Because the Bible says so. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So let me encourage us today to know, yes, this world is changing. People are changing. And something many times not even for the best. But that does not mean that you have to fall into that. Amen? That doesn't mean that I have to fall victim of that. We do not have to be a prisoner in sin, and being in sin's bondage, do we? I'm not interested in being in Satan's prison. I want to be in God's kingdom. Amen? I want to go to that place that's prepared for prepared people. Are y'all liking this or not? Let me give you the second point, and then we're done. How about that? 2 points today. Is that good? If not, I can add six. And let's get the second, and let's go. Thankfully, Christ is unchangeable. That's kind of redundant to our title. He does not change, and he has not changed. Amen? So I know it's a little bit redundant. Like, Jerry, why don't you just say it was a title? Well, it is. If you look at the book of Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 8, I love this. The Bible says, I am the Alpha and the... I am the beginning, and I, Jesus, am the end. Very good, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to become. Finish it. Come on. Almighty. And who's Almighty? Almighty God. Amen. Do you see how lucky we are? Do you see how blessed we are? Do you see how fortunate we are that somebody loved us enough to introduce us to this great man, Jesus Christ, that led us to the fold of safety? How blessed we are that someone shared this great God, our Creator, with us. Listen to me. Christ Jesus is the King of all kings. Amen? Jesus Christ is the King of all kings. And He has all authority. And His laws, this is what I love, His laws do not change right in the middle of our walk in our journey of life, does it? We're not getting all set up and walking toward the righteousness of God, then all of a sudden the rules change. You remember I brought this up before when Jerry Jr. and I were playing basketball out there. If I start to win, the rules of the game changes real quick. No, Dad, you got to be 6 feet behind. No, Dad, you got to do that. I'm thinking, well, you didn't when you was a foot below it. Well, that changed. It always changes to Jerry's favor. But God's rule doesn't change, does it? We don't have to worry about the rules changing in the middle of our walk in life. Folks, in an ever-changing world, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ remains the same and His laws remain the same. When we consider all the changing things in this world, isn't it nice to know that Christ Jesus is still man's only way unto heaven? In John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. Then over in the book of Acts, chapter 4, down in verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other. I love that. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we, together, you and me, can be saved. You get that? You can't be saved on the outside of Jesus Christ. Let us not forget that Christ commands us to come to Him, to go straight to Him with a repentant heart. At one time, God overlooked our ignorance, but not now. If you look at Acts 17, verse 30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to do what? To repent. Folks, listen to me. We all need to remember that the Lord's attitude towards sin, it has not changed one drop, has it? It hasn't. He still hates sin like He did from the very beginning of time. And that's why He puts in there again, Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then we have to think about what the Bible says in Matthew 25 and verse 46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Who's these? And these will go away to everlasting punishment. Those that were not willing to change. Amen? Those that were not willing to do what God's calling them to do. The rules are the same, even involving in disbelief. Do you know there's sadly there's people that don't believe today? And here it is, Mark 16, 16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's right, will be saved. But he who believes not shall be, finish it, shall be condemned. Go to John chapter 3, look at verse 18. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I like the fact that Christ doesn't change. He doesn't change His word, brothers and sisters. He's very serious about religious error as well, isn't He? Will He tolerate religious error? That's why the Bible says what it does in John chapter 8, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's why we need to remember Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. And in vain they worship me, teaching as the doctrine and the commandments of man. There are people out there today that's teaching their own beliefs and their own doctrine. Be aware of that. Just because there's a guy that stands behind the wood that claims to be a preacher does not make him a preacher. Do we understand that? A preacher is someone that preaches and delivers the oracles of God. Amen? So, we'll stick to that. So, once again, in an ever-changing world, isn't it nice to know that we have a Savior that does not change? Isn't it nice to know that His Word stays the same? This morning, I hope and pray, seriously speaking, that you understand that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ does not, has not changed. His Word does not change, and it has never changed. However, His Word does create a change in our life. We've got to be willing. Not only willing, but we've got to do it. We've got to put Jesus first and foremost in our lives. So we see that in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His, and all these things will be added to you. So when we talk about that, that means that we are to put, am I to put God before Paula? Am I to put God before Jerry Jr.? Yes. Am I to put God before my grandchildren? Yes. God has to be absolutely first and foremost. That's a big task, isn't it? We can talk it all day long, but our wives and our family and our brothers and our sisters and parents and grandparents can detour us like that. Do you understand that? So keep your mind focused on God, because God's rules do not change. The old Dodge commercial with the great big Dodge Ram back in 1998 said the rules have changed. And I remember, I saw a bumper sticker and it says, God's rules haven't changed. And that, you know, and it just kind of rung bells to me when I was putting the lesson together. God's rules do not change. This morning, are you seeking Jesus? Are you seeking Him in your life? Are you putting Jesus first and foremost in your life before anybody, anything, jobs, hobbies, whatever it is? Are you putting Him before your wife? Are you putting Him before hobbies? Are you putting Him before sporting events and so on? God expects you and me to grow, doesn't He? He don't want us just to become a Christian and then just sit there. And just sit there and sit there. He expects us to have growth. How do we grow today? How do we know the right thing to do? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed. Give me the next part. Rightly dividing. Very good. And then if we close our lesson, not if, but now that we're closing our lesson. Chris, this is what happens when you talk real fast. I used to be a car salesman. I'm going back. All right. So 2 Peter 3:18, the Bible says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. So, brothers and sisters, we can't just become a Christian and stop. There has to continually be change. There has to continually be changes in our lives for the good, to walk closer to Jesus Christ, and then to lead others to Christ. Amen? All right. So Christ has not changed. Amen? Say it with me. Christ has not changed and will not change. Is that good? Y'all comfortable with that? Good. You can tell your friends about it? Both of them? All right. All right. Today, if you're not a child of, if you're not a Christian, we hope and pray that you become one. You hear His Word. I gave it to you. I'm sure I did. Not being arrogant, but I verify this, and so do they. If I miss one, I get a text right back. There is no verse so-and-so. Right, Brother Larry? So I gave you the Word. Do you believe it? Are you willing to repent of our sins? We all are. We should confess our belief in Jesus Christ. Upon that confession of faith, if you're not a Christian, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Come out of that water grave of baptism, dead to sin, alive to God. The Bible says in Revelation 2, latter part of verse 10, be thou faithful unto death. And Jesus says, I'll give you the crown of life. So be faithful unto and into death. And always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Maybe you've been through the steps of salvation, but you kind of wandered from the fold a little bit. You need the prayers of the congregation. Let us know. Let us pray with you, for you, help you any way that we can. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, come right now together.